All right, let's read some verses in the New Testament here. To start with, we're going to read John chapter 7, verses 37, 38, and 39, and then Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 6. For there to be revival, there must be hunger. There must be hunger, spiritual hunger. For the things of God. One of the things that takes place if a person is physically sick, unhealthy, is they begin to lose their desire for food. And in those few months before Brother Huff passed away, Marcia sometimes would take a plate of food up there to their house. When he would see a big plate of food, he would just say, "No food." He just started, so she made a joke about, you know, "No, no food, no food." He would just wave her away, "Please, no." When you're sick, physically sick, you don't want food. When you are spiritually sick, then you also have no desire for spiritual things. Your desire for the Word, your desire for prayer, your desire for the presence of God, the house of God, you just lose your appetite for it. And that's a serious, serious thing when that happens. And so let's read these verses here. John chapter 7 and verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Jesus said, if you thirst, then come. If you desire to be filled, if you desire spiritual things, then you come to the Lord, asking him to satisfy that thirst. Then Matthew 5 and 6, this is right in the middle of the Beatitudes, but it's this verse, Beatitude that said, "Blessed are they which do hunger." The word blessed means just happy, happy, fulfilled. Is that person which hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So I think there's a couple of verses there that remind us of the fact that if we are hungering, if we are thirsting for the things of God, then we have the condition and the promise, the fulfillment. The condition is hungering and thirsting. Amen. Hungering and thirsting, that's the condition. The fulfillment of the promise is you will be filled. That's a wonderful promise. That if you seek after God, if you desire the things of God, then you will be satisfied. I've noticed this just in talking with other preachers, other pastors that say, you know, if when I have announce a revival at our church, that I do good to get everybody to come out on Sunday morning, and about half the crowd comes Sunday night, and then the other half of that crowd then comes Wednesday night. He said, and to announce a revival, I've had pastors say to me, you know, I don't know if I should announce or schedule revival meetings because there seems to be no desire for it, no hunger for it. I really think that a lot of the reason why is because the desire for the things of God has been replaced with a lot of other things. And there's no real formula for revival. There's no way just to say, do this, then this, step one, step two, step three, step four, and then God will pour out His Spirit. But I think the most important starting place is to hunger and thirst after righteousness. We talked Sunday morning about repentance, and Sunday night about clearing the road, clearing the way for revival to come. And then Tonight, I just want to talk about being hungry for revival, hungering for spiritual things. There's no way to really outline a formula for revival, but I think that we can see that right here in these verses and other verses that we'll look at here tonight, that if a person develops a hunger for the things of God and begins to desire and have a spiritual hunger and a spiritual thirst, that there's this promise from God, if you'll seek after me, I'll satisfy you. I'll give you what you are longing for. But if you don't, if you have no interest in God or the things of God, you see, a lot of people are so busy. Have you ever heard the term when people say, well, my schedule's really full, but I'll see if I can't pencil you in. And what they're saying is, you're not really very important. I'll see if I can work you in. You know, that's how we do God. That's how we do the things of God. That's how we do revival. God, we're going to try to work you in to our busy schedule. We're going to do our best to find a little slot for the things of God. Let me tell you, God, the Bible says in numerous places that God is jealous. God is a jealous God, and He desires our fellowship. He desires us to seek after Him, and you cannot just pencil God in and just fit Him in into your perfect little schedule that you may have. I mean, people have so much that they fill up their lives with that there's hardly any room for God, for the Word of God, for church, for the things of God, and it's a very, very serious problem. And every one of us need to take a close look, evaluate ourselves. I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight because you're the ones that are here on Wednesday night. But I'm convinced that if 25 or 30 or however many are here tonight, if we just get together and we allow the Lord to stir up a desire and a hunger in our hearts, that everybody else that comes in and sits around in the services Sunday morning, they'll take notice of that. They'll notice that there's a new hunger in your heart. There's a new interest for spiritual things in your heart. And we've got to somehow get rid of this philosophy that we're going to have to somehow fit God into what we're doing. Instead, what we need to do is understand that He is to be our all in all. And everything else is just kind of incidental. Amen. Everything else is incidental. It's more important than jobs. It's more important than money. It's more important than all your other daily responsibilities. The things of God. I've heard old timers tell the stories about people who would go for weeks in revival. People would go out into the fields and work in the sun and the heat from the time that the sun would come up. And they would, many times, churches would schedule their revival services to start about 7:45 or 8 o'clock at night, especially if it was a rural area where they were coming out of the fields, where they would have enough time to get ready, cleaned up, and get to the house of God, because there was no way that they were going to say, well, I've worked 12 hours in the fields today, I'm not going to revival. They lived all day long with that anticipation. I get to go to revival. I get to go to the house of the Lord. I get to hear from God and enter into the presence of God and see what God might do. Amen. I know that that's the kind of a hunger and a desire that we need to develop in our heart. I read you this verse in one of the services Sunday that again reaffirms this very fact. James 4 and 8. Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh to you. As you take the initiative to press in to the things of God. Now, He's everywhere present. He's right here to meet your needs. But He's just waiting on you to press in to the things of God. And you'll draw nigh unto God. He will draw nigh unto you. The rest of the verse says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. ways that you can draw nigh to God by purifying your life, by cleansing your heart, and coming before the Lord with a sincere desire for the things of God. Amen. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh unto you. Amen. The same theme is in 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And I know that if you've read these chapters about King Asa, that it was under Asa that was a great time of reform and revival for the nation of Israel. And a prophet that came to him and declared to him, spoke to him, telling him what he needed to do in preparation for this. 2 Chronicles 15 and verse 2. And he went out to meet Asa, this prophet, and said unto him, "Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him." The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now this was the word that initiated this revival under King Asa. Asa, if you pursue God, the Lord is with you if you're with him. If you're pursuing him, the Lord's going to in proportion to the amount that you are seeking after the Lord, he's going to be coming and blessing you and providing for you. As long as you're seeking him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake the Lord, turn away from the Lord, then he's going to forsake you. Strong words that should motivate us all to ask the Lord, "Lord, would you help me develop the hunger for the things of God? Help me to develop a desire for the things of God." Amen. Another verse is Hebrews 11 and verse 6. "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Those that come to the Lord, those that diligently seek after him, have the promise, he is a rewarder. He will reward you if you will come and diligently seek after the Lord. So you can see this reoccurring theme in a lot of places in the Word of God. You take one step. I know it's a song, but it's the truth. If you'll take one step, he'll take two. He'll probably take more than that. But the song, the theme of the song is, if you'll just step toward the things of God, if you'll pursue the things of God, that God will reward you and he'll move in your life in a greater way if you'll pursue the things of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. He used to say, quote the quote, "If you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. If you're too busy to seek after God and seek after revival, you are too busy. And you need to start looking. How can I cut some things out? Especially during this week of revival. I have to rearrange my schedule. I'm going to have to maybe go into work earlier cut my lunch break out and make it a little shorter, or do something so that I will have time to prepare myself and be there in those services. Amen. Go to bed earlier. We were up all day long Monday, and we were at Mark and Anna's house. Everybody was wore out. It's 9:30. I don't know when I've ever been to bed at 9:30. I was probably a kid. I don't remember under normal circumstances going to bed that early. Of course, we had to get up extremely early to go to the hospital to be with them in this surgery. But we went to bed before 10 o'clock. You know what? It felt pretty good. It felt real good. And if there's any way that you can, go to bed earlier. Set aside some time. Make an effort to prepare yourself for revival and to set your heart after the things of God. Amen. After the things of the Lord, what happens when you lose your desire? What happens when you lose your desire, when you lose your hunger for the things of God? A lot of years, I have driven the kids up to Lorraine to Camp Blessing, youth camp. And on the road that you take to go into Lorraine, you go through a little town called Oberlin, Ohio. Oberlin is the hometown of Oberlin College. And that college was started by Charles Finney 150 or 160 years ago. It was founded by Charles Finney. I visited there one time several years ago, went on campus, and there's a Finney Chapel there, and I was able to walk up the steps, and it was a big, tall podium, climb up the steps, and that's where Finney would preach there at Finney Chapel when he was there at that location. That was more toward the end of his life and ministry. It was a pretty amazing place, that 150 or 60-year-old chapel. It was a school that was founded for people studying for ministry and for Christian work. Today, Oberlin College, 150 or 60 years later, is one of the most liberal, socially liberal colleges in all of the country. And there's all kinds of wicked, evil things that are taking place on that campus. And most of those students there have no idea who Charles Finney was. They don't know that he was so mightily used to the Lord. Most of Finney's sermons lasted at least 2 hours. One of his meetings that was in upper New York State lasted for 70 nights. That's 10 weeks. 70 nights straight. And his common length of his sermon was 2 hours. You say, well, wow, that's long. And I know a lot of people say, well, back then they didn't have nothing else to do. They were just bored. No, they didn't have anything to do. They didn't have automatic dishwashers. They didn't have cars. They didn't have most of the conveniences that we have, the comforts that we have, most of what they did. It took them a whole lot longer and with a great deal more work and labor than it does us to get it done. But then they would come and they would listen to Finney preach for 2 hours for 10 weeks straight every night. There was a hunger for God. There was a hunger for the things of God. And as a result of that, no one knows for sure, but many believe that there might have been as many as 1 million people converted under Finney, at least 250,000. Somewhere in the hundreds of thousands of people were saved in the meetings that he had over a period of maybe 30 years or 30-some years. Incredible. Amazing. He was a revivalist. He literally shaped the direction of the nation. He went right through and during the time of the Civil War. And God was doing a work that the nation desperately needed. And people were hungry for God. What could have happened that now, 160 years later, that it would be one of the most liberal colleges in this country? Finney would roll over in his grave. Such a horrible, horrible place now. So socially liberal. Matter of fact, I did a little search to find out what the condition was. It says that 40% of the students on campus are liberal or extremely liberal. Only 2% consider themselves to be conservative. 2%. The rest of them have pretty much a who cares attitude. 2% on the campus would be considered conservative. The rest of them don't care or they're extremely liberal. How did it happen? Well, the only answer is that somewhere along the line, they begin to lose their interest in the things of God. And they just lost their desire, lost their interest, and that hunger began to wane, and spiritually, that college that was started for Christian ministry has died. And now in the place of that is a college that's really a reproach to God and to the things of God. Many of the things that Finney preached, a lot of different things about revival, two or three things that were big points that he emphasized in his meetings was that he preached about the fact that people had left their love. They had left their first love. That they didn't love God anymore. They said that they did, but they didn't love God anymore. One preacher that I was reading after not just a few days ago was talking about how that he'd been with a big group of people that were worship leaders with these worship bands, and that they would all talk about how much that they loved God and how much that they wanted to worship God. And that worship time during the service would last maybe a half an hour, so many of them would even stay for the preaching. They would leave after they had their part on the stage worshiping. Many of them never went back to the house of God. I had nothing to do with God. It was like, I'm there just to sing my three or four songs and then leave. And, see you next week, God. And they're supposed to be the ones who are leading the worship in the house of the Lord. The problem in a lot of our hearts is that we have lost and left our first love. Another thing that he emphasized was of course the word of God, but the neglect of it, the neglect of studying and reading and meditating and the word of God having an influence on a daily basis upon your life. A third thing was your lack of desire or love for souls, that you people just have no interest in the things of God. And no interest in souls. They've lost their hunger, lost their desire. I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want it to happen to you. I sure don't want it to happen to our church, our congregation. I don't want to see people lose their interest in the things of God. That's why with all of our hearts, a group like this here tonight, I believe we can pray together that God would ignite a fire starting this weekend, this Sunday morning. And it would just spread and affect everyone that's here. And then all of those that it would spill over on others. And we begin to see people return to a desire for the things of God. Amen. Return to God, to the house of God, to the things of God. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I know that you have promised in your word to all of us, if we would hunger and thirst after you, we would be filled. You have promised, Lord, that if we would draw nigh unto you, you will draw nigh unto us. So, Lord, I just pray for this group here tonight as we pray together, Lord, at the close of this service, Lord, that we would pray with a united desire for God and for the things of God. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. I know you can do great things with many or with few. It doesn't make any difference to you. And so, Lord, we've just got a few here tonight. And I ask, Lord, that you would just ignite an interest, a desire in all of the hearts of individuals in this place tonight. Oh, God, help us, Lord, every one of us to draw nigh to you. Lord, to develop this desire, this hunger, this appetite for spiritual things, so that when we come in here Sunday morning, that we're desiring to hear your voice. We're desiring, Lord, to receive from you. I ask you to do a work on all of our hearts, every person here, Lord. Talk to us, deal with us, draw us, Lord, into that place, your divine help, your divine presence. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We are in such need, and we know, Lord, that you are faithful. Hallelujah.